Episode 290 of the Pie of the Pilot podcast takes off now.
Fly with Garmin Avionics, then grab your mobile device and make the Garmin Pilot app your cockpit companion. Get advanced functions you'll use before, during, and after every flight, including updating your aircraft's databases and logging engine data. Plan, file, fly, log with Garmin Pilot.
The Pilot to Pilot podcast is brought to you by Learn the Finer Points. Use the link below to save 10% off their ground school app.
Aviation, there's a new offer from SiriusXM. Make sure you upgrade your next flight without upgrading your plane by getting the Garmin GDL52 portable receiver. The GDL52 has ADS-B traffic and weather, plus SiriusXM weather and entertainment. It has Bluetooth and works with Garmin Pilot apps. For a limited time, you can get a $300 rebate on the GDL52, plus it comes with a free 3-month trial of SiriusXM's weather and entertainment. I love flying with SiriusXM, and it's honestly one of my favorite features about having the G5000, so the GDL52 will offer you a very similar outlook on the weather and also getting to listen to some awesome radio stations on SiriusXM. So check out the GDL52 at aopa.org/SiriusXM.
Hey, Nation, what is going on? And welcome back to the Pilot to Pilot podcast. Today's episode is an Ask Me Anything. I haven't done one of these in a while, and they've always been fun to do. So I figured, why not? Let's throw one up and let's get one out there. Life's a little crazy at Team Seams. Christina just had a week of nights. Emmett was sick the other day, and now I'm sick today. Finally starting to get better, but here we are. Make sure to check out the hats. You can go to boldaviator.com. They have some of the best aviation gear in the game. I'll put a link below, and you can check out the Pilot to Pilot hats. I truly think they're the best hats they make, you know, a little bit biased, but go ahead and get one of those and rock them on a daily basis. They are amazing. Work out on them. You can run in them. And you can wear them for fun because they look really good. But Aviation, I won't take up any much more of your time. So without any further ado, here is October Ask Me Anything. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. We are in the Ask Me Anything, and there are quite a few questions. I would say the number one most asked question is one that I'm not able to talk about for many reasons, mainly because I don't want to get fired from my main job, but I cannot really touch on contract negotiations, status of the company, status of the union, status of anything. The information's out there. You go look it up. You can make your own opinion on everything, but yeah, that's pretty much something I just can't touch. You can probably imagine why. You know, I don't think it'd be a good idea for me to be interjecting with anything. Now, I can say kind of my personal thoughts and what I think about the industry and if I would ever leave, but I'm not commenting on that. I do enjoy my job. I like what I do, and I like flying there. So, I mean, that's kind of it when it comes to that. So there's another question later that I might get into, but let's go ahead and break into some of these. All right, number one is, did you ever feel like you weren't going to make it? I'm a Part 61 cowboy right now, and it's rough. I would say yes. There's definitely a time in training. I don't think you're the only one, whether it's Part 61, whether it's Part 141, but there's going to be times where it's just a drag. Maybe you're not doing as well as you want to do. Maybe you failed a flight check. Maybe you failed an actual check ride, a stage check. I guess you're 61, so you're not really doing stage checks, but sometimes it can be just a downer. You know, you really think it's so far away, but in reality, your career is so close to taking off, pun intended. You are way closer than you think you are. Right now, the hiring times are unbelievable. We've never seen people get hired with this amount of hours and this less of experience as we have right now. And with so much less experience than we have right now, it's absolutely crazy, to be honest with you. So if that can't motivate you, then I recommend you go just have a fun flight. If you already have a private pilot license, or maybe if you have a solo planned, try to make it more fun. Don't think of it as a training exercise. Don't think of it as building hours. Just do it to love aviation, because at the end of the day, if you don't love aviation and if you can't see yourself doing this, then it's not for you. This is not an industry to chase money. This is not an industry to chase quality of life. This is not an industry to chase travel, because it's going to suck eventually. This is a job at the end of the day. Now, some people can say they've truly never worked a day in their life and they're flying. I will call BS, because not all days are equal and some days are pretty terrible. Especially when you have like your sixth min rest in a row on a 7-day tour, and you have been de-icing every day in the Northeast for 4 times, it can be a drag. And I mean, the 121 world, they still have bad days too. You get reassigned. You might just be in the New York area going New York, Syracuse, New York, Syracuse, New York, Buffalo, New York. You might get one trip to Richmond, Virginia, and then back. So some days aren't great. Some overnights aren't great. But really focus on just trying to have fun. Remember why you did this in the first place. This isn't, like I said, don't go chasing money when you get into this career because you're never going to be happy. The money's not always going to be there. Right now you might see some airline pilots making a ton of money, but who knows what could happen in the future with the stability, with the instability that's out there, with the threat of wars, with the current wars. You never know how the industry is going to respond. So money's not always going to be there. Quality of life's not always going to be there and sometimes isn't there in general. You're really going to have to just figure out if you do this because you love it. And go have fun with it. Enjoy it. Just try not to get too dragged down with the grind of, I got to get my hours, got to get my hours, got to get my hours. While it's important, like I said, because seniority means everything, but you got to find the fun in it as well. All right. Hope that answered your question. All right. Next one is, what was the hardest part of your IFR training? Mine has been entering and flying holds. I would say the hardest part of IFR training is just putting it all together. Now, some people might disagree. There are a lot of difficult aspects of flying IFR initially, right? So there's just a lot going on. There's a lot that you just don't understand. You're so used to flying VFR. You're used to a different set of rules. You're used to looking outside and glancing at your instruments and looking back outside. Now you're stuck inside and you're fighting kind of this vertigo. You're fighting against your body essentially and where the airplane is. And then you also have to talk to someone. You have to figure out what they want you to do. You have to figure out how to do something, how to fly something, make sure you're not going to hit them and communicate. It's very overwhelming at first. But eventually, it's going to click. You just got to keep going until it clicks. It's going to feel like you're banging your head against a wall until you finally break through. Because that's what it is. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. Holds might not make sense in the air. They make sense on the ground. They might make sense in the air, but they don't make sense on the ground. Confusing, I know. But it's going to happen. It's going to break through. You're going to get through it eventually. It's just one of those things that you just have to keep going and going and going until you finally do it. For some people, it's the first lesson. For some people, it's right before their check ride. For some people, they don't ever really figure it out and they fake their way till they make it, pass their check ride, and then they figure out an online experience. So it's a difficult subject. And another thing, it's kind of similar to what the last question is. You have to understand that you're not the only one that struggled with this. There are worse pilots that have passed their IFR than you. I can guarantee you that. So if they can do it, you can do it. And just remember, take it slow, have fun with it. And just really understand the big picture of everything. Understand why you're holding. Try to have your situational awareness available. If you have a Garmin G1000, that's very helpful. If you have Garmin Pilot on your iPad, that's very helpful to see everything. Because like I said, if you understand what you're doing, that's the biggest step. You understand why they're asking you to do something, how they're asking you to do something, and what you can do to enter that hold. Seeing it visually and seeing it on the G1000 or Garmin Pilot will help immensely. So I highly recommend that if you're not using that already. But again, just keep going, going, and going, and going, and use all your resources, whether that's Jason from the Finer Points, you can use the Ground School app, or whether that's just a YouTube instructor that you like that you want to watch, or whether it's your own instructor or maybe their friends. Don't ever be afraid to reach out and ask questions and reach out for other people because they have all learned from someone else's mistakes or learned from their own careers, and you can learn from their mistakes and their careers. So that's what I'd say to that. All right, is 27 too old to start IFR training? I want to be an airline pilot and I feel like I'm too late. All I'm going to say to this, look up the retirement age, look up how old you are, and then think how many years you could be flying. So 27 might get pushed up to 67. Let's say it takes you a year to get everything done. You could still have 39 years of flying at an airline. That's all I got to say. It is worth it. You're not too old. I don't want to sound like Gary Vee right now when he always says people complain about how they're too old at 30. It's not. It's not too old to remake your career, remake your life. Now, this is kind of a caveat with everything I've already said. Make sure you love it. Make sure there's something you want to do. If you're married, if you have a partner, if you have a wife, whatever it is, make sure they're on board with it too, because this industry is not easy on everyone involved. Kids, family, parents, loved ones, anyone, yourself, it's not easy. So make sure you really, really, really want to do it. And kind of what I said before too, don't do it for the money. I know that you can see a lot of money being made and there's going to be ups and downs, but do it because it's something you really want to do and you can't see yourself doing anything else. When's the next date of the industry podcast? I've been missing those. You know, that's a good idea. Let's go ahead and reach out to Jim and see when he wants to come back on. We're going to Disney in a week. Maybe I can get him on Thursday night. So maybe in 2 days, I'll reach out to him, see what he wants to do. If you have any questions for the Ask Me Anything, or no, if you have any questions for State of the Industry, please send them to my email. That way we can go ahead and get those answered as soon as possible. Why did you want to fly the PC-12 so bad? That's a good question. I honestly don't know if I know the answer other than the fact that I just loved the airplane from the beginning. I loved the way it looked. I loved the mission of it. It was kind of like just the all-around great airplane that really piqued my interest. I've only seen them before, whether it was on YouTube or just seeing them on Instagram. I never really had any experience of one up close. I've never really was in one before, aside from seeing them on the ramp. It was just something that I always wanted to fly. I don't know how else to really explain it. It's kind of like how some people love J3 Cubs. And I'm not comparing the two, obviously, because J3 Cubs probably have more of appeal to some people than a Pilatus PC-12. But it was something I wanted to do. And I knew my time frame to fly that was short. And what I mean by that is once you get to a fractional, once you get to a 135, once you get to making good money and having a career in aviation, a lot of times you're not going to go backwards. You're not going to go back and fly PC-12. You're not going to go back and fly general aviation. It doesn't matter how much you love it. It's just you're going to get back to the same barriers you had when you first started and saying that, man, this is too expensive. Like, I can't afford this. So I knew that I really wanted to try to do it. And I knew that my career was probably not going to be a straight line from A to B or from A to Z. What I mean by that, I knew it wasn't going to be flight instructor, regional, major airline. I knew that there was going to be general aviation involved. There's going to be freight flying, hopefully involved, and corporate flying, hopefully involved, and then kind of see where it goes from there. So yeah, it was just a plane that always caught my eye. I thought it looked cool. It was a lot of fun to fly, and it's something that I'm really glad I did. I actually had the opportunity. Well, I shouldn't say opportunity, but it was presented in front of me that I had the potential to go to a regional airline and start that whole process. But I chose to go to a PC-12. Some might call me stupid. Who knows? I could be at a major airline by now, being a captain or whatever it may be. But I've enjoyed my career so far. And when I made the decision not to go to a regional airline, it really solidified the fact that this was the route I wanted to go down. And the company I'm at now was always kind of where I wanted to be. So I wanted to try it first. And now here we are. How's the captain life? You know, the captain life is pretty good. Can't complain. I have not flown a single trip as the PIC yet. That might be weird for me to say. But where I'm at, we have PIC-PIC pairings quite a lot. I also had a limitation on my license. You might be asking, wow, Justin might be a terrible pilot. He must have failed something. No. This was my first jet type rating, so I had an SOE limitation on my plane or on my ticket. And once I had 25 hours, I was supposed to go to the FISDO and get rid of that SOE limitation. But guess what? I waited 3,000 hours. I waited till they upgraded, and I just got it removed a couple weeks ago. So now it's official. I can go be a PIC and have SIC. So if you just got hired at my company and you're in the latitude and you're somewhere in the Southeast or the East Coast, we could be flying together. You never know. So, hopefully you're good. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be fine. It'll be fun. But PIC has been good. You know, I've always had the mentality of including everyone. And when I'm in SIC, I would always speak up for what I wanted to do and make sure that they knew and we took in the safest option. So I'm excited to have that same opportunity for SICs, make sure they feel like they're included, make sure we know we're operating as a crew and we do everything as safe as we possibly can and make sure everyone's happy. So I'm really excited, whether it's mentoring a new pilot, whether it's flying with someone that has more experience than me but happens to be an SIC, I'm just excited for the opportunity. So, and the extra money helps, so I can't complain there. All right, at your current company, can pilots you commute bid on schedules that have overnights? This might not be current company. So maybe airline life. Can pilots who commute bid on schedules that they have overnights in the places they actually live? I would probably say yes. I'm not the right person to ask that, but let's say I go to American Airlines. I live in Raleigh-Durham. I want to bid a line that ends my day in Raleigh-Durham. By all means, I would assume if there were flights there and I had the seniority to hold it, I could bid that. So yeah, I would assume that you could do that. Why did you start the Pilot podcast? What was your motivation? I love the show. Thank you, Mr. Game and WATC. Appreciate you loving the show. I've talked on this a little bit more in depth, so I'll try to keep this relatively short when I answer this question here. Essentially, 2016, I believe it was, maybe 2017. It's hard to believe this podcast has been going on for 6 years. I played way too many video games. I was really good at video games. Like, I was at the point where I was thinking of starting my own Twitch, maybe going pro. And I use pro in air quotes because I don't think I was that good, but I was good for an average gamer. And I was like, let's see where we could take it, that kind of good. I played a lot of Battlefield. When we flew freight, we had all the pilots when they weren't flying. We would just be online playing a Battlefield. Essentially, my wife, I feel like I said essentially 10,000 times, so I'm going to stop saying that. It's my new challenge. If you hear me say essentially, you have to drink a shot of Gatorade. I don't know. We don't promote drinking because you might have to go fly. So you got to drink some Gatorade if you hear me say it again. But we would play. My wife would leave for work. She worked at like a pig lab when she was doing her classes to get ready for medical school. She would leave at like 8 a.m. I'd be playing video games. She'd get back at 6 p.m. and I still haven't left. Sometimes I wouldn't even have ate anything. And I would be playing video games the whole time and it'd feel like 2 hours went by. She looked at me, looked at the door, looked at me again. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just playing video games. It's like, why don't you do something that's fulfilling? Why don't you do something to give back to the community? Why don't you do something that like brings joy to your life and other people's lives? And I was like, I am. I'm playing video games. And that's how I looked at it. I thought video games was that. I thought it was bringing me joy. But she goes, why don't you start a podcast? And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, everyone and their mother has a podcast. So why would Justin have a podcast? And who would ever want to listen to it? I thought I sounded like an idiot. I hated the sound of my voice. I still do. I truthfully cannot listen to any part of me talking on this podcast ever again after it's recorded. It's just something that I can't do. So I said, absolutely not. 6 months goes by. Eventually, I was like, okay, maybe I'll do it. I started searching for some aviation podcasts. And I was like, you know, there's really only a couple. And I think I have the ability to do this better. So I reached out to a couple of people. And then from there, so recorded my first interview with Instaplanes. And which is not an account anymore. And then I think I got 80 downloads on my first podcast. So success did not happen overnight and it took a couple of years. Shout out to Pilot Maria. She kind of gave me my first big break. It was kind of funny. We're in China and the Wi-Fi was so bad. I couldn't kind of capitalize on it. She was shouting me out saying how much she loved my podcast and I had no Wi-Fi and no cellular service. So like a week later, I messaged her, said, thank you so much. And then we recorded a podcast. And then kind of from there, I went weekly. So I've been weekly for 4 or 5 years now almost. Didn't make money on this podcast for the first 5 years. So like I said, does not happen overnight. And that's something that has been a grind and we've done it. And it's thankfully it's worked out with some awesome sponsors. Let's take a break from today's episode to hear from our sponsor, RAA. Hey guys, Justin here. Did you know that more than 55% of adults don't protect their income with disability insurance? And for pilots like us, with fixed career limits and higher job risk, there's even more riding on missed benefits opportunities than most. But you can take control and full advantage of all valuable benefits your airline offers, starting with free benefit analysis from my partners at RAA. With your free benefits analysis, an advisor specializing in your airline's benefits plan will help tailor an election strategy that best fits your personal needs and goals, including retirement savings, investments, health savings accounts, healthcare and disability coverage, and more. Listen, your benefits aren't just protecting your health. They're critical to protecting your long-term wealth too. But open enrollment is approaching fast and only lasts for a limited time, just like this free benefits analysis offer. So don't wait. Schedule your free benefit analysis today at raa.com/pilot-to-pilot. That's raa.com/pilot-to-pilot. Now back to today's episode. Why do you like Garmin Pilot so much? This is a great question. I truthfully love Garmin Pilot. I think it's a great app. I think it offers one of the most aesthetically pleasing opportunities and applications to use for an EFB. It looks just like the G5000, which is what I fly, which will look like the G3000, which will look like the G1000, which looks just like Garmin Pilot on your iPad, if you get what I'm saying. It's something that you will know how to use, something that you will feel very comfortable using. And the features that they have and the features that they will have, I think are amazing. I really do enjoy it. I think it's very easy. It's very quick to use. And the radar is by far the best radar in the game. And some of the stuff that you can do is absolutely amazing. I look forward to using it more with GA. I'm hoping to start flying small planes again. And I'm hoping to use it to do flight plans with flightplan.com. I'm hoping to kind of use their logbook and use more ways and just use Garmin Pilot for everything that it can offer. Because right now I'm using it for a lot of stuff that I use in corporate aviation and backtracking with that. And I think that has been great so far. Ooh, this is a really good one. What's life at home with a family? I worry about missing things in my kids' lives as they grow up. So this question hits really, really close to home for me. I hate being gone from my kid. I something that I just cannot stand. Something that I struggle with on a daily, weekly, hourly basis. Whenever I'm gone on 7 days, it's the worst 7 days of my life. I feel like I come home, my kid's 2 feet taller, says 20 more words, and will just constantly kind of judge me and wish that I was there more. So I constantly struggle with that. In a perfect world, if I could, I would stay home. I probably wouldn't fly. My kid is more important to me. My wife is more important to me and being in their lives. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm always in their lives with being gone for 7 days. So it's a struggle. It's something that you have to actively not kind of mope around about, kind of understand that it's just different. Like your opportunities to see your family, your opportunities to see your kid are different than the guy that has a 9-to-5 job, the guy that is a lawyer, the guy that works at a bank, the girl who is a doctor. You know, it's just going to be different. It doesn't mean it's going to be bad. It doesn't mean it's going to be good. It's going to be whatever you make it. There are tons of families that have had a successful kind of relationship with their parents, relationship with their kids that have done the exact same thing you can do. So it's possible. You just have to understand that it's different than your neighbor. It's different than your friends. And you can't judge yourself or their lives based on what situation you have. You just have to work with the cards you've been dealt and make the most of it. So it's not going to be easy every single day, but it's very possible that you can have a great relationship and have a great time with your family and not feel like you're missing anything. Make the most out of the 7 days on and make the most out of the 7 days off. Whether that's FaceTimes when you're gone, calling them every single night, and when you're home, it's all about your kids. It's all about your family. It's all about your wife and your loved one. Looking back, would you go to the PC-12 and build time again, or would you try to like get a jet job instead? I kind of explained this earlier, but again, I would do that. I would do the PC-12 because, like I said, it was a bucket list. I didn't think I'd have the opportunity to fly PC-12 or really even want to fly PC-12 once I got to where I am, or say if I went to an airline. None of the really small 135 operators that flew jets really stuck out to me. I just never really wanted to fly a crappy jet. I'm not like crapping on, I guess I am essentially, but you know how some of those operators just fly these jets that you look at and you're like, man, that should not be flown. But the person flying, it's like, oh, I'm flying such a cool jet. This is my first jet. I didn't want to be in that situation. I probably was flying the PC-12, to be honest with you. But in my mind, it was better than flying a Hawker or a Learjet. No offense to anyone flies those. There's some great Hawkers, great Learjets. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. Was it difficult for you to transition to the right seat for the first time? I'd say no. Thankfully, we had a bunch of simulator time that I could get used to flying in the right seat in the simulator before I got to the airline. There was a couple kind of, couple hand-eye coordination things that I just had to get used to. But other than that, it was really easy to get used to. Currently, right seat to left seat, and we switch off. So we're over the PIC, sometimes I'll fly in the left seat, sometimes I'll fly in the right seat. So I'm still sitting in both seats. And the first flight's usually kind of like, okay. Let's see what we can do, So the first one, you kind of just get your bearings straight. And then after that, you pick it up and it's not an issue at all. Are you sad that you never went to the Global or the Gulfstream? Is it something that you want to do in the left seat, or do you even do it in the right seat? I think if there's the opportunity here to do it in the right seat as a career, you know, when you look at the airlines, there's a lot of people that fly the 350, the 787, and they sit right seat for their entire career. Just for quality of life, or just because it's something that is looks fun to them and they want to do. If that was the opportunity here, then I probably would. Right now, the pay in that right seat is the exact same pay as the pay in the right seat of a Latitude. So for me, I don't think it's worth it. But if they ever made that pay to somewhere where it's closer to what captain pay is on a Latitude or a 350, I think I would definitely want to do that. Flying the Global 7500, that's the biggest and best that we have, is something I've always wanted to do. And I think it'd be a lot of fun, whether that's a Global 7500, whether one day they get Gulfstreams, Falcons, any of those planes. I think it'd be really cool to fly all over the world. So yeah, hope that answers that question. All right, this one is, please, please, please tell your story or direct me to a podcast episode where you tell it. I have never told my story on this podcast. If you think of someone who you would want to interview me, let me know and we can post it here. I have done a podcast with Chris from Angle of Attack. I did one with AOPA. I think that's about it, honestly. So yeah, you can just Google those. I think on YouTube, if you put Chris Palmer, Justin Seams podcast, it pops up right away. It's number one. So go ahead and check that out. That was a great podcast. Chris and I have done a lot of work together. We have cool little podcast series about getting into aviation. So check all those out. They're all great. But aviation, that's all I have for you today. Oh wait, there is one more question. What is your favorite Garmin watch? I love the Garmin question. This is awesome. Currently have the D2 Mach 1 and is by far my favorite watch. This is crazy. I was all Apple when they first came up to me and said they want to sponsor my podcast. They said that, here, we want to give you a Garmin watch too. And I remember flat out saying, probably not the best thing to say to a sponsor. I remember saying, I really love my Apple Watch. I don't know if I would actually use the Garmin watch. So yeah, not the best idea to bring that up when you're just starting to sign a contract with them. But thankfully, they looked past that. And they were like, all right, we're just going to send it. You try it out. Let us know what you think. Tried it out within a week. I never wore my Apple Watch again. I think my Apple Watch at that point was like 3 months old. It was brand new at the time. Garmin watches are by far the best smartwatch for flying, for our lifestyle. Nothing can compete with it. Think about the battery life. I don't charge my watch for 7 days. If I work out a lot, if I use a GPS and use the aviation features, maybe you're looking at 4 to 5 days. But every single night, I essentially have my watch on and I sleep with it. It tells me how my sleep, my fatigue, my body battery, and then I use it for fitness every single day with our 5:40 a.m. workouts and club. Shout out to Camp Kevin, my next door neighbor. That's what we call it now. But it's great. The amount of information you get on this watch, is you just can't compare it to Apple Watch. Now, there's some good things with Apple. Like if you have an Apple Watch, by all means, you can still like it. But I highly recommend you try out Garmin. And I do think you are going to want to stay with Garmin and continue to buy their newest watches because it's unbelievable what it does and what the capabilities that it has. So if that doesn't convince you, then go to their website, garmin.com, and you can check them out. This is the D2 Mach 1, and it's great. Highly recommend. Aviation, that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for the Ask Me Anything. If you enjoy these, let me know. I know I've said this a million times, but we're going to get into video podcasting. We are going to be painting my office and setting it up here soon. So looking forward to doing that. That's all I've got for you today. Remember to check out the Bold Aviator Pilot, the pilot hat, the best hat in the game. Pilot's Coffee. Right now, it's currently only ground and whole bean coffee at pilotscoffee.com. It's the best coffee in the actual world. Hoping to start putting more time into coffee. As you can imagine, life's pretty crazy over here. But yeah, Aviation, that's it for today. Like I said, I hope you enjoy this. Take someone's iPad, take someone's iPhone or Android phone if they have it, and you can go ahead and have them subscribe because you never know who the next pilot's going to be. It could be the person sitting next to you in class right now. That's all I got for you today. I hope you're having a great day. And as always, happy flying.
Pilot the Pilot LLC is compensated to make recommendations to his or her followers regarding the services of RAA or Allworth Airline Advisors, companies of Allworth Financial, LP, or Allworth. Promoter is not an employee or investment advisor representative of Allworth. Promoter is a current client of Allworth. Allworth-based promoter fee of $4,000 a month for sponsorship of the Pilot the Pilot podcast. Due to the compensation arrangement between Allworth and promoter, promoter has an incentive to recommend Allworth, resulting in material conflict of interest. Promoter's role on behalf of Allworth is limited strictly to making recommendations regarding the services of Allworth, introducing or referring prospective clients to Allworth. Promoter has no responsibility with respect to Allworth's investment advisor or other advisory services.